Groups behind several ballot initiatives this year already faced a significant hurdle when the pandemic interrupted the usual process for collecting signatures. But now that the signature gathering is complete and petitions have been submitted, more challenges are yet to come, this time in court. Business groups are already arguing the descriptions of an initiative to increase taxes on the wealthy and another to increase some hospital workers' pay were misleading. Joining us now for a few minutes to talk more about this is Howie Fisher of Capital Media Services. Hey there, Howie.
Good morning. I mean, I'm shocked that businesses would go to court to keep this off the ballot.
Yeah, this seems like kind of, to paraphrase a wise philosopher from many years ago, deja vu all over again, at least on the Invest in Ed initiative, right?
Well, exactly. And in some ways, the arguments are very parallel. Right now, Arizona has a tiered income tax system, and the top rate is 4.5%. This would say that individuals making over $250,000 and couples at $500,000 would face a 3.5% surcharge on top of that, basically creating an 8% tax bracket, but not creating a bracket. The argument is, well, you should be have told people in the 100-word description on the initiative's petitions, the thing that people decide whether they're going to sign, that this would be an 80% increase in the tax rate. Well, you know, this comes down to whether people can read. I mean, if you're going to tell you there's a 3.5% surcharge on top of the current rate, is that fair? Is that adequate? I don't know. I mean, last time around, they tried a different wording and the Supreme Court ruled 5-2 that it wasn't sufficient. Now we're going to end up back at the Supreme Court and decide, you know, does this adequately describe for petition signers what people are asking for?
Well, Howie, did Invest in Ed, I mean, I would imagine that they tried to at least learn something from what happened last time, because as you say, this is the exact same issue that got them removed from the ballot 2 years ago. Does it seem like history could repeat itself?
Well, again, they say they consulted their lawyers, and their lawyers believe that this addresses what the Supreme Court does. By contrast, Garrick Taylor from the Arizona Chamber, which is leading the effort against this and financing it, says, no, it's got the same problem. So this is going to come down to, is my lawyer smarter than your lawyer? I mean, that's really what this is. And, you know, what the court will rule, you know, it depends on, you know, how, what does the court think about the ability of voters to fully understand that if you add a 3.5% rate on top of the 4.5, you've got 8, and you don't need to say it's an 80% increase. There are some other technical things in there. And, you know, just like the hospital one, I think they're just trying to see what sticks.
Well, so let's talk about the hospital one, because I think this might be a little bit less high profile than Invest in Ed. First off, briefly, Howie, maybe in 100 words or so, what would this initiative do?
Really got four provisions. One has to do with infection control standards, setting new federal standards in Arizona for infection control. Number two is about stopping what they call surprise billing. You end up at the hospital and ends up that one of your doctors wasn't in the network, and all of a sudden you've got this $1,000 bill from an anesthesiologist. Number three is designed to guarantee coverage for pre-existing conditions if Obamacare / the Affordable Care Act goes away. And number four, which is probably the thing that concerns the hospitals the most, is a pay hike for all hospital workers, 20% over the next 4 years. The argument is that these folks are the heroes and that they deserve it. Now, understand that, as always, there's more of this than meets the eye. This is being pushed by a California-based union that has been fighting with the hospitals in California for years. Well, it's much easier to fight with the hospitals over here, where it's easier to get measures on the ballot. So that's their agenda. The hospitals, for their part, say, well, we don't want to do things that are going to unnecessarily raise our costs, even though we have all these heroes, and they don't want to talk about the pay hike for hospital workers and whether, in fact, you'd have more hospital workers if you had higher pay. So they, too, threw a bunch of charges out there that the description didn't work, that somehow they didn't describe what pre-existing conditions are, that it only applied to health insurance and not life insurance. And essentially, it was that scattershot approach that I think the attorney figures, well, let's throw this against the wall and see what sticks.
And Howie, in just the last few seconds we have left, safe to say that whatever happens on this round of the court cases, this is going to the state Supreme Court for a final word?
Oh, definitely. They always do. You know, some Superior Court judges will get the case, will do their best to come up with an opinion that because they know it's going to the Supreme Court. Both sides have too much to win or too much to lose to allow it to be decided on Superior Court level. So, yes, sometime perhaps in late August, we will get a court order about what gets to go on the ballot. There's two other measures that haven't been challenged yet. One dealing with criminal justice reform, one dealing with legalization of marijuana, but who knows? Maybe there's litigation coming on those too.
All right, we'll keep our eyes out for that. That is Howie Fisher of Capital Media Services. As always, Howie, thank you.
You're welcome.